what's so different today? Volume, right? There are, you know, 40 million blogs out there and growing daily. So trying to do that manually is impossible. I mean, you can go on to a Technorati search engine and do a search and get a basic sense of volume, but how do you mine through that volume to understand specifically those things you're looking for? You know, what is my competitive mind share, or what is the sentiment towards my brand, or how effective am I being at getting specific brand attributes or messages into the marketplace?
This is podtech.net. Welcome to Marketing Voices, featuring the fresh perspectives of innovative marketing leaders and examining how social media is changing marketing throughout the world. Here's your host, Jennifer Jones.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Jones, and today on Marketing Voices, I'm speaking with Deborah Eastman, who's Chief Marketing Officer of Biz360. And Biz360 is a leader in applying market intelligence to business needs. And so given that Marketing Voices is focusing on social media and its impact is on marketing today, Deborah and I are going to be discussing how to measure the blogosphere's impact on a company's brand. And so we'll also be delving into the interplay between the blogosphere and the mass media and their collective impact on a brand. So that's a lot to cover, but we know we're going to put together a lot of thoughts here. So Deborah, welcome to Marketing Voices.
Thank you, Jennifer.
We're really glad to have you. And so let's first give the audience a sense of what Biz360 does.
Okay, great. Well, Biz360 goes through and mines the mainstream media and the blogosphere to help our clients collect insights. We can go out and look for specific brands, companies, or issues and trends that could affect a company and help them in evaluating how those trends may be affecting their business, or what kind of mind share or what kind of consumer sentiment may be in the marketplace regarding their brands or their competitors' brands.
So what kind of companies are you working with at this point?
We work mostly with Global 2000 size organizations, and the verticals that we tend to have a lot of strength in includes the technology vertical, pharma, biotech, some financial services, and then we do find that we have applicability across all the verticals, but those are the ones where we see the largest concentration today.
So let's jump right into it. So how do you measure the impact of the blogosphere on a company's brand?
Well, there are a variety of ways to measure it. You know, you can look at just pure volume and try to understand the relative mind share. So particularly if you're really focused on trying to improve the mind share within the blog community, being able to evaluate the effectiveness of that through understanding your volume versus your competitor's volume. The other ways that you would look at it is to evaluate the tone or the sentiment. One of the things that's unique to Biz360 is that we can look at sentiment from a client-specific point of view. And what I mean by that is a lot of times, or some of the other providers that do sentiment analysis look at it on a polarity basis. Is the overall blog posting negative or positive? We look at it from a point of view of the client, and I'll give you an example. If there was a blog posting that said, I had a really crummy day, got in a car accident, I was stranded in the rain, and AAA came to save me, the overall polarity of that blog posting would be probably negative. But from AAA's perspective, if in fact they were our client at the point that they were making that analysis, they'd be able to see that that was actually a positive posting for them.
Well, that's pretty interesting. So give me some more data on that. That I think that's a really key point for people, is to really understand that sort of the neutral to positive aspects of how you measure the blog.
Yeah, it's important. I mean, you know, it's important both in media and blog analysis in that, you know, just because you have mind share doesn't mean it's necessarily positive. If you look to the experience, and I know a lot of people have read the story about what happened with Dell Computers, for example, when Jeff Jarvis had blogged about his experience with Dell's customer service in a very negative tone. Well, if you're measuring just mind share, that word spread really fast within the blogosphere, and one could be misled that that was a positive thing for Dell. But when you look at it from a tone perspective, you could see that that was a very negative thing for their brand. And in fact, what we found is that the Business Week actually got wind of the story and published the story in Business Week. And that crossover into mainstream media is where it really had a very significant impact on Dell's brand.
So that's key for you guys, is the crossover between mainstream media and the blogosphere. And that's true for most of your clients, right?
Yes, it is. Even those clients that start out seeking a solution to understand how to mine the blogosphere, what they find when we do some analysis with them is that looking at the aggregated view of the media and the mainstream media and the consumer-generated media gives them a better perspective on what the overall sentiment is in the market. And two things that are important there. One is we see the bloggers making a lot of comment on the mainstream media. So clearly mainstream media is an influence into the blogosphere. And then the other thing is that sometimes we see data that is different in the blogs versus mainstream media. And I'll give you a specific example. We worked on a project with Northwestern University where they analyzed the relative perception of both Coke and Pepsi around issues of sugar or sweeteners. And what they found is that in the mainstream media, Pepsi had the primary mind share around sweeteners, whereas in the blogosphere, Coke has the primary mind share. And then this was specific to the Splenda brand of sweeteners. And so if you were looking just at blogs, you might say, as a Coca-Cola brand manager, you may say, well, we're getting a strong association with Splenda, which actually happens to also be positive. But, in fact, the mainstream media, in this case, had a different perspective in how they were influencing the market. So the point is two things. One is it's important to look at how the mainstream media is influencing consumer sentiment in the blogosphere. And then two is sometimes the data shows actually different perceptions in mainstream media and in the blogosphere.
So how do you guys, when you work with a company, actually sort of get started to actually assess that and sort of process through one versus another in terms of influence?
Well, we work with the client to identify what it is they want to collect intelligence about. So if they're looking at either their corporate brand or their product brands or maybe some trends and issues. For example, in the fast food industry, one of the things that they will often want to evaluate are the effects of diet trends on consumer choices of fast food products. So we start by working with the client to understand what it is they really want to get further insight on, and then we can configure our technology to go and collect that insight by mining blogs and mainstream media and bring back, you know, reports and information that helps that customer to make some business decisions.
Do you ever get any resentment from the blogging community about actually feeling like they're being monitored so much?
No, not really. We've had, you know, maybe in 2 years, two or three people say, you know, why are you spidering my blog? But for the most part, I think everybody understands that, you know, once you put something up on a blog, that's in the public domain. It's available for anybody to see. And in fact, it's interesting, you know, you're even seeing, you know, with the younger generation, which is very active in community sites like MySpace, colleges are using MySpace as a vehicle for screening applicants. So I think everybody has to be aware of is once you put stuff on a blog, it's public information. It's available to everybody.
So what are some other challenges that ultimately you would kind of figure are part of this whole measurement?
I think the biggest challenge we're still facing and with our clients we're working on solutions is to identify where the influential blogs are. And it's interesting. I recently had the opportunity to sit down with Shel Israel, who is the author of Naked Conversations, and we debated this topic of how do you define influence, because and what he would say is that Robert Scoble can influence his decisions on technology but not on his choice of movies. So one of the challenges that we have in the market is to figure out for our clients, when a blog posting is happening, is this a blog posting that could actually influence your customer's perception or influence the overall sentiment towards your brand in the marketplace? And influence is highly dependent upon who you're trying to influence. If you're a large corporate brand, then, somebody like a Jeff Jarvis or a Robert Scoble, one of the more, you know, A-list bloggers, could have a pretty big impact because they may also be translated into the mainstream media. And perhaps something on my 15-year-old daughter's blog is not really relevant to you. But if you're Abercrombie & Fitch, something on my 15-year-old daughter's blog is very important to you because that will influence her community of friends around a consumer brand targeted at that demographic. So I think one of the things that we're still working through in this marketplace is to define influence so you can really look at the blogs that are going to impact your business or your brand.
So do you actually give the names of the bloggers that you define as influential to the client so that they can further work with them after they've already been a client?
Well, there are a couple of things that we do relative to this issue of influence. One is we have, you know, the A-list bloggers. So we have a partnership with Feedster. Feedster defines, you know, the top 500 blogs. And when you're looking for threats to a corporate brand or reputation, knowing that these are A-list bloggers that could potentially be used as a news source into the mainstream, you know, that's a relevant influence measurement, is to look at the A-list bloggers. The other thing we do is work with clients on client-specific blog lists. So if you're in the, you know, the pharmaceutical industry and you know there are certain healthcare blogs that may impact the perception of doctors for writing prescriptions of your drug, then we'll create custom-specific blog lists of those that we know will be influential in your market. And then we can slice and dice data based upon these various different blog lists. So those are one form of working with clients and helping them to segment the blog feedback in a way that is relevant to what they're trying to measure. We're also then working with a number of parties right now and defining a more sophisticated impact metric to try to understand link analysis and other metrics that would help us understand how many people might this blogger actually affect with their position that they may post on their blog.
So how much does this cost if you have somebody working with you, as you just described? Give me some ballpark.
Well, it varies. We'll do point-in-time project-based work where, you know, it's going to range somewhere around $50,000 for an individual project, $30,000 to $50,000 for an individual project. Our primary business model is to do an annual subscription where we can have an ongoing monitoring and maybe periodic reporting throughout the annual subscription. And subscriptions are average around $75,000 a year.
So very similar to what a lot of people would pay a research analyst, what a marketing primary marketing person would pay a research analyst.
Yes.
Okay, so what makes your data impossible to go without? I mean, for years, you know, I've done marketing for 25 years, and it's always been that you had a person or a group of people doing the kind of analysis you're talking about. And, you know, it makes me really question, well, what's so different today that we need the kind of analytics that you're talking about?
Well, so if I can take that into two parts, I would start with what's so different today? Volume, right? There are, you know, 40 million blogs out there and growing daily. So trying to do that manually is impossible. I mean, you can go on to a Technorati search engine and do a search and get a basic sense of volume, but how do you mine through that volume to understand specifically those things you're looking for? You know, what is my competitive mind share, or what is the sentiment towards my brand, or how effective am I being at getting specific brand attributes or messages into the marketplace? So mining through that volume in a manual way or just by using free search engine technology is a very complex problem. So using an automated analysis solution such as Biz360 allows you to really do that in a very sophisticated way. So what makes it impossible to go without? First of all, reputation threats. And I think if you look at, again, using the story of Dell, and there's another story of Kryptonite, which is another case study that's actually referenced in the Naked Conversations book, on how, you know, somebody was able to pick the Kryptonite lock, and as a result of that spread through the blogosphere, and they had like a $20 million recall of their product as a result of that message getting through the blogosphere. So what makes it impossible to live without is you need to know about that, and you need to know how fast that is moving through the blogosphere. Is it gaining momentum, or is it losing momentum? Do I need to intervene and set the record straight, or do I need to, you know, take some sort of action to protect my corporate or product reputation and brand? So that's one thing that makes it impossible to go without, is the potential impact it could have to a brand and reputation. The second piece is you know, the amount of money that we spend. You know, U.S. spends $1 trillion in marketing on an annual basis, and that comes from Blackfriars. And, you know, that's a lot of money that we spend in messaging.
Hang on a second. What's Blackfriars?
Blackfriars is a research house that measures marketing spend and how marketers spend their money across the marketing mix. And so their most recent study showed that U.S. companies are spending almost $1 trillion in marketing on an annual basis. So that's a lot of money that's being spent, and to do that ineffectively, you know, is obviously something that, that marketers are always concerned about, and particularly today in the world of measurement and your need to show a return on investment. So the other thing that makes this impossible to go without is to make sure that your messages are relevant to your market. And while you've many marketers have done that through primary research or focus groups in the past, the opportunity to mine the blogosphere is much more timely, gives you a much broader sample size, and allows you a lot more flexibility in understanding what's top of mind for consumers. And I'll give you an example of that. We did a study for a yogurt company that wanted to understand what consumers' perception was around probiotics, probiotics being a benefit of yogurt in that it kills the bad bacteria but leaves the good bacteria. And they wanted to basically market their product as probiotics-enabled. And what we were able to show them through analysis of the blogosphere is that nobody connected the dots with probiotics and yogurt to start with. So there was a consumer education that was going to be necessary in order to be successful with the marketing strategy around messaging of probiotics-enabled yogurt. And so the other thing that, that the point here about, you know, what makes this impossible to go without is the ability to really make sure that your messages are going to be relevant in the marketplace and get, you know, the marketing traction that you want, which will drive sales of the business, is an opportunity that you have in the blogosphere.
Yeah, we could go on for hours. I'm going to have to say that I'm going to have to cut this interview down, but I do think it's really important for all the listeners to realize relevant message in the marketplace is key, and then return on investment is even more important. So just to end the interview, what is the real return on investment for a lot of these people? I mean, how do they really ensure that they're going to get their bang for their buck?
Well, I think our customers look at it from a couple of different directions. First of all, they look at it from, if they're trying to do this manually, the return on investment can simply be, you know, the spend that they're doing manually can be reduced by doing it through an automated solution such as Biz 360. I think the other things that, that drive the return on investment is effective marketing spend. And so customers that are measuring, you know, either the event, an event-based, how effective was I at a product launch? And was I successful at getting the key messages about my product across, and how was that translated into the consumer's mind? So I can really evaluate the effectiveness of my marketing campaigns and make sure that I'm tuning those in real time to optimize the output, which will drive sales. So the other way that, that you drive return on investment is to look at how can I drive more effective marketing campaigns that will have a stronger output on driving sales for my products.
Very good. Well, Deborah, I'm going to have to stop the interview, but I really thank you for being on Marketing Voices.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, Jennifer.
You're welcome. And again, I've been with Deborah Eastman, who's the CMO of Biz 360. And this has been Jennifer Jones of Marketing Voices. And may all the voices you hear be marketing voices.